il Warren Authority per l'ilkom semijat Campus 103.7 dan huwa hemm on board xu program ieħor aħna hawn. Kif intom nisperaw li tinsabu tajbin illum l-erba kif daqqu t-toki ta' nofsinhar nerġgħu ninsabu għal edizzjoni oħra ta' dan il-programm hekk eċitanti diskussjoni fuq din il-frekwenza fejn ta' kull ġimgħa jkollna mistiedna differenti. Programm li jitratta l-gwaljanza, programm li jitratta s-saħħa mentali u l-programm li wara kollox jitratta s-soċjetà Maltija fuq ambiti u aspetti differenti ta' dak kollu li jkun qed jiġri madwar dawn il-gżejjer. Jiena nirringrazzjakom talli wara kull ġimgħa tibatulna tikkummentaw ukoll dwar sibijiet tagħkom dwar dawn id-diskussjonijiet tant interessanti. U din il-ġimgħa diskussjoni żgur interessanti ħafna, diskussjoni li smajna dwarha, jekk ma smajniex dwar id-diskussjoni smajna forsi dwar il-film, tgħidu li x'fuq film ma film ħa nitkellmu. Jekk għadkom ma rajtux il-film, naħseb sal-aħħar ta' dar programm forsi ħeġġukom talgħu il-film, u jekk rajtu dan il-film forsi sal-aħħar tal-programm nerġgħu ħeġġukom talgħuh u tismu dan il-film minn perspettiva differenti. U kku però miegħi għandi l-Dr. Maria Pisani fejn flim kien magħha firstly. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I hope everything is okay. We're excited to have this discussion. Thank you for finding the time to being here also. Today you are the head of Department of Youth and Community Studies within the Faculty of Social Wellbeing here in the University of Malta. So currently gearing up for another scholastic year, but also you are an activist, and an activist with a particular within a particular field, but also a field that I believe is purely the mother field in reality. Feminism, gender, and also how we should all be the intersection of interrelations between identities, and that is interesting because today we're going to be talking on how even the cinema and how movies and motion pictures have and can be a source of activism, can be a source of themes that are prevalent in our society. Themes that are being discussed, that are being more than discussed, are being experienced in everyday life in different countries, different communities, different aspects of individuals within their lives. We're talking about Barbie. We're talking about the film Barbie, this phenomena of this everything is pink. Today I wore pink just to symbolize the discussion that we're going to have. Firstly, though, apart from the many, many identities that you have, a quick introduction to our listeners who maybe are not that much aware of your work that you do.
So I'm Maria. I'm with the Department of Youth and Community Studies, and I'm also a product, if you like, of the Department of Youth and Community Studies, having done my degree and my master's within the same department.
Okay.
So I'm a youth worker by profession. I'm also a mum. I'm Maltese, but a returned migrant. But I've been here for more than 30 years now, or four, actually. Most of my more recent work has focused on young people, race, and forced migration. But obviously, and as you rightly pointed out, my activism has focused on social justice issues right across the board, which necessarily means I've adopted an intersectional approach. And maybe we can unpack that as we go forward. My activism is grounded, if you like, in a commitment to not just understand society, and that's where my work as an academic comes in terms of my research and what we call praxis, engaging theory in practice,
okay,
towards transformation, towards social justice on a number of different issues.
You say that with so much pleasure. I can see your eyes are like, it gives me pleasure to also learn that there's so much happening, and also to also learn how. This is a very interesting question here that I have. The two identities of being an academic and an activist.
Mm.
That is outside of the scope of the discussion, but also something that I'd like to learn, like how to merge those together. How do they interrelate?
I wouldn't even look at them as two identities.
Okay.
Actually,
all right.
I think for me they're one and the same. Let me think about the work that I do in terms of research and also in terms of as a lecturer,
right,
as well,
right,
with the work with the students. In terms of my work as a researcher, and especially the work that I've done specifically on forced migration that looks at young people, and gender comes into this as well, it's about researching the field, researching, in other words, we have to continue to search in order to be able to understand. But it's, for me, it's not enough to just publish that research and put it in
right.
the shelf. It's about using that knowledge in order to affect change. I would define myself as unapologetically political and critical, always looking towards transformation with a focus, like I said, on social justice. In terms of the work I do as an academic with our students, it's about creating a space to explore theory, to learn from each other, and to think about our own individual experiences, and they're very particular.
Right.
Every person in the room is unique. Working with theory and looking at how our new understanding affects the world and how we can affect the world and affect change.
And something that is interesting here, which gives me a great segue into this week's discussion, is how activism can affect change, academia can affect change, also motion picture can affect
yeah.
change. And how I feel like now all of these three together are being really exposed or really out there in the movie Barbie. And
yes.
this phenomena that was launched this summer, surprisingly, there was a marketing boom. Suddenly there was nothing, and then suddenly Barbie was everywhere, and mm-hmm. I think it worked, because mm-hmm. I think it's mm-hmm. like, what now? Like one of the highest grossing movies there is. Mm-hmm. Let's paint the picture also on like Barbie, firstly as an iconic figure, because this is not just a movie that exists in a just a shell or in a bubble, but it's a toy, it's a figure, it's more than a toy, it's honestly a cultural phenomenon that started in the late 50s and upwards towards generations that know Barbie as something that they identify with, and then now there's a movie. Before we started the program, you told me a very interesting anecdote on your reaction to the movie, going to see the movie. What is your experience
yeah.
of Barbie? And then let's start unpacking that
yeah.
slowly.
Well, I mean, I never had a Barbie, actually.
Right.
And I think that was, A, because I was never interested in playing with dolls, and B, I don't think I could ever afford it. My parents could never afford it. And defining myself as very much a Generation Xer, I had an uncomfortable relationship with Barbie, I would say. And I've been really busy at work, so I was sort of oblivious to this hype around Barbie. And I received a message from my colleague and dear friend Andrea saying, "Are you up for Barbie?" And my immediate response was, no.
Right.
No. Like, why would I be up for Barbie?
Why would I go see Barbie?
And then I thought, hang on a second, what's she, you know, where's she at? And I got back and I sort of looked at it and I went, no, I am open to this.
Okay.
I am definitely open to this. And it's a little bit like Love Island, which I mentioned as well. I mean, my motivation was academic.
Right.
You know, this can be an important tool for us to work with and explore different issues.
Do you see an overlap between Barbie and Love Island?
Oh, of course. I mean, they're both cultural phenomena.
Right.
I mean, and Oppenheimer and many others. I
right.
mean, we will. I'm watching Friends at the moment again. And of course, these cultural representations, if you like, are very important for our discussions in the lecture room.
And true that, like when we're talking about this cultural phenomenon of Friends, which is like what 1994 was the first episode, you know, over 20, 30 years ago now, like it's such a a staple in time, and then we're talking about Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse my ignorance, but for me, they're just so different
yeah.
in terms of what they represent.
Yeah.
But it's just because I'm taking it from a motion picture kind of point of view.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
From a cultural representation, from the kind of representation of how gender was represented during Friends, how LGBT people were represented during Friends. And now that gave the culture, the kind of foundation of a lot of people. Like everyone who was born and raised through Friends looks at Friends as the like, kind of educational tool.
Mm-hmm.
Barbie is the same? Is Barbie going to have the same impact? And kind of how can Barbie then be represented during the lecture room? Like as an academic, how do you unpack that? And
yeah.
what themes are we talking about when we're talking about
I mean, if Barbie? We were just to focus on Barbie, there are so many different layers. So when I said, okay, I'll attend, and I did the whole pink thing, there was no way I was going to do the Oppenheimer thing together. I was always going to keep those two separate. But I went there with the intention of really focusing as an intellectual project, if you like. And I have to admit that I found it, I hadn't even seen
the trailer?
Yeah, I hadn't even seen the trailer. So,
so you went with a blank.
Oh, no, like, completely. I hadn't, all I knew was that, okay, I'll go and I'm open to it and let's have some fun.
Okay.
And I think I had a little bit too much fun, because I found funny from the first moment.
Okay.
And very entertaining. And I think it's a fun film, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, let's start with that. It's a fun film. But I would need to see it again. I mean, obviously there's a lot in there to unpack, but I do feel the need to see it again in order to start peeling back these different layers,
right.
because there's so much there. And from the little bit, because then I went abroad and so I wasn't able to follow the conversations locally, but I know there's been conversations locally quite a lot. And I think what is very rich is the different interpretations of this film as well.
Right.
And how different people read it according to who and where they are at in their lives as well.
Right.
And that is food for thought.
This fascinates me because I just finished my master's thesis, and something that I'm learning through my academic journey is how when you're doing interviews with people, for example, they are giving you what they've experienced, like this phenomena of what they've experienced. So although they've experienced the same thing, what they connect with, what they remember, what they tell you that they remember is completely different.
Yeah.
So, of course, the experience of watching Barbie is different for me, for you, for our audience, for our listeners, most probably for my partner, you know. And although we're sitting next to each other, we have two completely different kind of interpretations of what just happened. Then as an academic, how do you translate that? This is what fascinates.
Yeah.
How do you translate that, this kind of one movie, 2 hours, into such a broad interpretation
yeah.
of what's happening?
But even when you're at university, I always say theory is a little bit like a comfortable jumper.
Right.
And there are so many different theories and different academic perspectives. And it's about finding that one that's comfortable for you. And so you're going to, you know, come across many and some you're going to put aside. Some others you might have put aside and say, oh, hang on a bit. I'm going to bring that one
yeah.
back in again. There are certain jumpers that I've worn that they've come worn now. They've got holes in them. I feel so comfortable with certain theoretical lenses.
Why is that we feel comfortable with certain theories?
Well, I think it also depends on, you know, and I'm sure you had many aha moments in lecture. It's like, you know, landlord. And I never saw it like that. I like to think of theory as a pair of spectacles, as a lens through which to understand the world, but the way we understand our world is situated.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on who you are and what you're going through and what you've been through, and even our interpretation of a film. Let me use or even a series like Friends also needs to be understood within its historical moment.
Right.
So I'll be watching Friends today and thinking,
that
is whoa, you know,
right,
that
right,
is
right.
not cool, you know. I mean, and and it's surprising how much of it. I can go either further back, and if I think of James Bond movies that I used to love watching when I was, and now it's like, man, that did not age well, you know? But it's still a fascinating tool through which to understand that particular historical moment and how we are evolving.
And thank you for that. Thank you for that, because it's just so interesting how there's this level of thought. For me personally, it's so interesting that this level of thought. Yeah, it is a historical thing. That is something that's being experienced now. And how is Barbie going to age then in the next 20 years then? Like, because for me, Barbie is not a children's movie. Like,
no,
you know, like, I went there, you know, in a cinema full of children. And I was well, this is going to be an interesting conversation.
Yeah. I have four adult children, three girls, and I did see conversations online. Should I take my daughters?
Yeah.
I mean, personally, had my daughters been younger, I would have taken them.
Okay.
I think it's a fun film, and I don't think there was, even when there was a swear word, it was,
But I think this was blurred.
It was, you had the Mattel, so I would have taken the girls when they were younger, but they wouldn't have understood, a lot of the themes that were running through the film. So I think it's an adult film or or certainly an adolescent film for sure. But then, like I said, everyone who is going to watch the film is going to be interpreting it from where they are at in their lives as well.
Mm-hmm.
How it will be understood and read in 10 years time, 20 years time, it'll be a fascinating, I think I'll do that in 10 years time. We'll dig it out again and see. It'll be very interesting, but even I think one of the threads of the film that I don't think has been picked up much, and there are so many different layers, like I said, but one of them is actually the relationship between the daughter and the mother, which was a central theme throughout the story, but something that's not been spoken about. And many of the issues that were addressed in the film make sense for me as a woman. I'm 53 in a few weeks' time. And I will read it in this sense, knowing what I grew up with as a young woman and the challenges that I face today, which are very similar and very different from the challenges faced by my daughters, who are all in their 20s, which are very different again still, to adolescents who are 13, 14, 15, even 16, 18. It's a different experience, even in the period of a decade.
And so that's different, these different experiences that are being represented in the movie. So it's very true, the relationship between the mother and the daughter online is not necessarily like within the newspapers articles, you know?
I don't think it's not being
discussed. And is that coming from a space of like not much awareness? Is there too much in the movie? Is it we're not appreciating that much how important the relationships between the mother and the daughter
is? I don't know. Like I said, I mean, my first thought when I came out was, I mean, there was lots of thoughts going through all at the same time. I would have loved to have seen this with my daughters. And then I thought about somebody else in my life, and I thought, oh, it'd be great for her to go and sit with her daughter. You know, I mean, so perhaps that's because of what I was going through with her at that
particular moment.
I mean, I can't say, but there are so many other issues anyway.
Right. Yes.
And everyone has an agenda. So they're going to pick up on what they want. So I'm not even saying it was the most important theme. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying it was a common and an important thread that is worth unpacking.
Yeah.
And perhaps this is a conversation that needs to be done over a coffee or whatever at home. You know, where you just sit down and discuss it like that.
Because then again, every relationship between a mother and a daughter is
different.
How that's being represented within the movie is going to be through that dynamic.
And I wouldn't want to homogenize the relationship, the mother-daughter relationship either, because they're very, very, you know, they're very particular and individual.
I appreciate that, actually. I really do. The main theme is patriarchy, gender, you know, gender norms. What was going through your mind when you started seeing the movie being unpacked in front of your eyes?
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think I was sort of when we walked out, I was with Marceline as well, and she says, "What do you think?" I said, "I don't know. I think I still need to." And we were like, "I still need to sort of you know process all of this in my head," because it was fun and it was very very funny. But for me, it started off with this, you know, apparent utopia, which I feel very uncomfortable with this utopia. If this is a fair, you know, because that's another thing you see. Even if we're speaking about women and all genders and their interpretation of the film, this is the same when it comes to feminism. There are different interpretations and different lines of thought in feminism as well. And so feminists are going to have their different interpretation according to the different feminist lens
How
that they adopt.
That is,
of course, because there is, it's fluid,
yes,
you know, and changing. You never put your foot in the same river twice.
Exactly.
It is constantly evolving. But for me, it was of course, patriarchy, is perhaps the central theme running through the film.
What stuck with me was an article that said, I'm pretty sure, maybe Dr. Deben actually said it,
okay,
like, patriarchy doesn't even serve man. I don't know where I read that. I read it somewhere. And it's like, it's so interesting because I never thought about
My understanding of patriarchy is an ideology that upholds certain structures and systems and ideas that in general, but not exclusively, benefit cisgendered men.
Right.
In society. But obviously, as an ideology, and we can see through many, many contemporary conversations that it is also very damaging for cisgendered men and for other genders as well. Patriarchy is also built on certain constructs of gender that tend to be very fixed. And this is, and I would say, hugely problematic as well. And I don't think that's healthy for anyone in reality. So even when we're speaking about feminism, and as a feminist myself, I don't like to label myself, but as an intersectional feminist, I wouldn't just be looking at patriarchy as a problematic ideology, but how it intersects with other vectors of power, if you like, and affect people in different ways through their life.
Wow, that's a lot to kind of
work. Okay, let me unpack that. So if I'm talking about different vectors of power, different ideologies, I would be looking, this is where the film, I mean, we can talk about Barbie but we have to talk about, at least bracket all of this, as this is Mattel, and Mattel have made God knows how much money out of this film. I mean, and their agenda is to make money, and capitalism, which runs through all of this, has to be a central theme as well. And I don't think that really has formed much of the conversation around it. But we can look at how economic inequalities and capitalism and racism and race and ethnicity and ageism and ableism and homophobia, all of these different vectors of power intersect and affect people in different ways. So as a woman myself, as a cisgendered woman, I can give you many, many examples of how my life has been negatively affected by patriarchy. But I am a citizen of this country. I am now middle-aged. I'm an academic. I am white. I have also certain privileges that have shaped my life as well. So it's not just about patriarchy, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't have a conversation about patriarchy.
But this is the thing, right? That there was such an uproar with the movie, just discussing, just like patriarchy was there and how the man was portrayed, and there was like such a negative connotation with it. Some countries just banned the movie outright.
Yeah,
not happening. I love the power dynamic that you just mentioned, and like how different relationships kind of, is saying power dynamics the correct term?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Because
power dynamics.
Because it's just like, it's like interrelated. And now that you mentioned ageism. Now I'm thinking about that scene with the elderly woman at the bus stop. And I'm like, ooh, would that, it was a bus stop. Like, early on in the movie, Barbie and Ken, they just, they're dressed in, they're very colorful.
Okay, in the real world.
In the real world.
Okay, I'm trying to remember.
And then there was this conversation with this elderly woman, in the bus stop, and Barbie just smiled at her, and like the two generational women next to each other.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
now is a whole other conversation.
Yes. Yes.
And even that we're saying the real world in terms of the what Barbie world, I guess.
World.
You know, like,
hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie. Right. That constant joke for like a whole 2 weeks. Like, good morning. Hi, Barbie. It's the fact that there's a real world opposed to a Barbie world. Mm. Reality, wouldn't Barbie's word being the real word for the Barbie community? Wasn't that their real word? What is the real word? Even for that, for me, it's just like, wow, okay, now that we're having this discussion, there's so many other layers.
There is.
Movie is just so much. But just to try and centralize it a little bit, in terms of this, the discussion with feminism and the intersection of feminism, which I love, by the way, is the movie the true, is a close enough representation of outside the our world, Earth, is a port, because at the end of the day, it is a movie, and there's this kind of capital undertone within that, that they're trying to make money.
They're They've been very successful at making money.
So they're, at the end of the day, what they're selling is something that is appeasing. They're not just putting out there, like, they're not mentioning right now how Afghanistan, Taliban, are just banning women outright for any other social activity or anything.
Yeah. But we can link the two.
And
out there, then it's up to us to use it how we want. Always keeping in mind this critique that I mentioned earlier. But of course, I mean, we can look at the Taliban and how patriarchy is working and how it is affecting women's lives.
Right.
We can look at Ukraine and how patriarchy is affecting men's
and everybody,
you know, but, if I look at, how the men have been expected to stay behind and fight, we can also look at that from a patriarchal lens. In my work with refugees, it is predominantly Ukrainian women that are coming here and seeking help and looking at their gendered experiences as female refugees. Everything is gendered. Everything is gendered. And of course we should have a conversation about patriarchy and how it affects men, women, all genders, positively and of course negatively as well. And especially in Malta, given very recent history, when we start talking about mental health issues, perhaps in particular, of course we should be talking about patriarchy.
Let's keep that talk for a moment, because I'd like to discuss how Barbie or the themes that we're discussing overlap to the Maltese reality. Just a moment, we're gonna continue this conversation, but of course, to keep with the theme of this discussion, I wasn't gonna do this now, but peer pressure, and we're changing the song, of course, it has to be Barbie Girl.
Hiya, Bobby.
Hi, Ken.
You wanna go for a ride?
Sure, Ken.
Jump in.
I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world. Life in plastic, it's fantastic. You can brush my hair, undress me everywhere. Imagination, life is your creation.
Come on, Barbie, let's go party.
I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world.
Well, Bobby, we're just getting started.
Oh, I love you, Ken.
Amek smajna Barbie girl, il-Barbie will-Ken. Tajdu, I love you, Ken. Just right there, she said, I love you, Ken. Which goes against what the movie presents to us, because Barbie doesn't have feeling for Ken.
Yeah.
Ken needs to find himself in the movie.
Yeah.
He needs to be like, okay, who is Ken?
Yeah.
How important is it for us as humans in general, for us as locals here in Malta, to question ourselves? Who are we outside of anyone else, as individuals, as single persons within a local community such small as Malta, to question ourselves? Because Ken has to question himself. Ken had to be go like, okay, who's Ken without Barbie?
Yeah.
And I'm Ken enough, or I'm Ken enough, for, you know.
Yeah.
So even that is interesting.
And how we find ourselves, I think, in relation with other people.
Right.
I mean, obviously, I did find this really interesting when I was watching. So Ken was designed and came about for Barbie, which of course is the exact opposite of what we've been taught as children from a biblical perspective, and I thought that was really interesting at the beginning. But of course, if we're going to talk about Barbie, then we have to talk about everybody else.
Right.
And there were, I think, some efforts in terms of representation in the film, but I don't think they went far enough.
Right.
And I think one of the problems as well I wouldn't even pose it as a problem, actually, because it's another platform and opportunity to talk about gender constructs and the relationship between men and women and those individuals that are not cisgendered and identified in a different way, and the non-binary population as well. It raises questions about the social construct. Let me speak again myself. I remember, for example, when I first came to Malta, apart from the fact that it was just taken for granted, there was no conversation. There was this assumption that I was going to get married and have children,
right,
and fulfill my purpose as a woman. And I can remember in the late 80s, I was working in shipping, funnily enough, and okay. I was in the office, and what was going on outside the office looked much more interesting to me than what I was doing in the office. And I remember saying, well, can I do that? Can I? And it involved driving a truck. And I was told, no, you can't, because women can't drive trucks.
Right.
And I mean, even then, I was like,
"Switched on what?"
I was going to swear. I had to catch myself.
We'll have to put the Mattel logo.
As if I was, because of my biology,
right.
My biological makeup determined me that I could not drive. And this is I'm not that old, you know. This is the world that I was brought up in, where the gendered constructs were very fixed.
Right.
Very fixed. And obviously over the last 3 decades, these constructs have been challenged and they have evolved, and they need to continue to evolve for everybody.
Okay,
for
there
everybody.
You go. Okay, yeah.
For everybody.
Because then again, the Barbie movie presents a gender construct which is fixed in kind of, let's say, well, quote unquote, I don't want to say the opposite way, but the opposite way
of
what we know.
And this is problematic.
Right.
I mean, the matriarchy or that Barbie utopia that was presented at the beginning of the film, I think is just as problematic
as
the patriarchy that Ken was advocating for in sort of towards the end. They are both problematic.
So this kind of binary concept of like either one or the other.
One or the other, like, that is in a sense constructed to uphold certain gender norms as well.
Right.
And again, we're just going to keep that capitalist thing constantly on hold, but it's very much there. And I won't talk about it for the purpose of this film, but we need to see how that layers through all of it as well, and how it affects different people, including different genders.
Right.
But yes, of course, this is why I think this film and any film, I mean, it can be whatever you want, really. It could be Mickey Mouse. We can still have a conversation about it on a political level. And by political, I mean with a little p, the capital P binary.
What we understand by political,
The
social political element of how things are interrelated with each other.
And how this film affected me, and how it affected you, and how it affected the next person, and perhaps why. And this is where the political activism comes in.
Right.
What can we do together to change it?
Right.
In a way that everybody benefits, and not just some people to the detriment of other. And I think that was the kind of conversation that was happening towards the end of the film, between Barbie and Ken. I think it could have been a little bit clearer, or it's perhaps because I was just taken away by the dance and the music. I don't know. But it was, you know, it's like, okay, that needed to be unpacked perhaps a little bit more. But another thing that you said, Eman, which I thought was really interesting, because we talk about how we are as individuals, and of course it's important that we recognize everybody's uniqueness. And we are each and every one of us unique, but we're also interdependent. You know, what I do affects you, and what you do affects me, always.
Right.
And we are all we are all entangled, if you like. And I think this is another conversation that we need to be talking about. That how I am will to some degree also determine how you are.
That's even the fact that we're having this conversation and that the listeners are listening to us right now, that's an interrelation, a spider web of conversation that is going to be food for thought, hopefully, for
maybe there's one person listening that will have a conversation with a passenger in the car, you know, and that's a ripple,
and
that's political,
right? There you go. So that's if anything, that's kind of the main message. I think that also Barbie, no, I don't think it's the main message. I think it's a message that we saw with it from an open perspective, that we keep an open perspective and they're willing to learn, because not everyone is willing to learn, or not everyone is willing to have this conversation.
No, of course not. And they can't be forced to have that conversation either.
Right. And that's kind of my question is, like, how do we then interrelate with each other, with other people that don't want to have that conversation.
Yeah,
but it's such a big...
Yeah, I mean, you can't force people to come to the table, you know? And you can't force a person to agree.
Right.
And I don't think that's the scope.
That would be dictatorship.
The point is to explore these and look perhaps for commonalities.
Right.
And perhaps this is then the conversation where it comes to values, and values that need to be explored and developed together, rather than rules that we should do this and we should do that, but values that we explore collectively. I would like to hope, and hope is a political act, that it would move in a direction that benefits everybody rather than just some members of society. And this is where I think patriarchy can be very problematic.
Right.
And by patriarchy, I mean an ideology, not men. And not masculinity.
Right.
That is not what I'm talking about.
The ideology. Then again, you say that, like, to everybody move forward together. Then again, the Barbie movie, like the matriarch within the Barbie world, left someone aside, the weird Barbie doll.
Yeah, I loved the weird Barbie. That was, I mean, weird Barbie, I think, is, in fact, a lot of people spoke about Alan, and I love Alan. but I loved weird Barbie. And I think weird Barbie had a very important role in the film. And in that sense, I mean, I think most girls can relate to anyone who had a Barbie growing up, I think, can relate to weird Barbie, and that one, the doll that had the weird haircut and
the squats and all
the
that.
Makeup
and
with felt tip pens and so on. But weird Barbie was challenging all of these constructs and
right.
expectations, I think, as well, and also. I mean, I love, now you're reminding me that there was the Birkenstocks and the stilettos, you know. I loved that. But Weird Barbie encouraged, let's say almost pushed, but encouraged Barbie to go and explore and to see what was going on and what was happening and why she was feeling the way she was. And also did not, like you said, did not fit into the construct of Barbie utopia. And yet was still celebrated, I think, or at least recognized. Let's say recognized yeah. rather than celebrated. She wasn't really celebrated.
Right. But that's the thing, right? Like, considering how we're talking about everyone moving forward together, there was still weird Barbie.
There was still weird Barbie, who actually wasn't celebrated in our community, but was given importance and recognized. But I think perhaps weird Barbie, I mean, I'm really talking as I'm thinking and thinking as I'm talking.
That usually happens.
I'm really processing
because,
this now.
Because then again, it's such a heavy movie too. Like, heavy in a sense is
And I
positive.
Haven't thought about it that much, I must admit. But now I'm thinking about it. And in many ways, Weird Barbie represented that critical perspective.
Right.
The gadfly, that is,
which we all need, no?
Oh, we absolutely.
To kind
need.
Of wake up and kind of be like,
of course we need.
Listen, there's this option. And no, you cannot choose the stiletto.
She sort of pushed her to explore it. And I think that's my role as an academic as well,
right,
to encourage students to explore. But certainly not to tell them what they should and shouldn't think.
Exactly.
But definitely encourage them to explore and have not comfortable conversations, uncomfortable conversations. It's very easy to sit in a room and agree with everybody. It's much harder work. And I think this is part of the feminist struggle, to sit down and have those uncomfortable conversations where we may not see eye to eye, but that shouldn't be an obstacle to a conversation. It's about finding a way through it.
And Barbie enabled that uncomfortable conversation to an extent.
Well, we're doing it.
We're doing it.
We're doing it. And across much of the world, certainly not all of the world, because that's another issue. Of course, there are many people that will never watch Barbie and have no idea what, you know, we have to keep that in mind as well. But if nothing else, it triggered a conversation. It triggered, this isn't a new conversation.
Right.
You know, we already spoke about Barbie and the history of Barbie. But it propelled the conversation perhaps back into the, we're talking about it and we should be.
What do you think about the fact that Barbie was launched at the same time as another movie, Oppenheimer, which is completely different movie, but the message within that movie, Oppenheimer, is... The patriarchy.
Yes,
I mean, I'm sorry,
yes,
it is a patriarchy.
Yes, yes.
And there's no way out to go around it.
Yeah,
whatever happened.
I haven't seen it. but I will.
Yeah.
I'm reasonably well informed on the Manhattan Project.
Right.
I would encourage, I will definitely go and see it.
Right.
And I would like to have a conversation about both films. And again, I think, and how they are linked and how they both are related to our lives today as well. I mean, and again, I already mentioned Ukraine once, but again, if we look at Oppenheimer and look at our contemporary historical moment, I think there is much to learn from this and many conversations to be had as well.
Especially
for young people.
I find it so fascinating.
Yes.
I mean, the fact that I live in a world when I can go to the cinema and see a movie, which is giving me so much.
Mm-hmm.
And we did the double bill, which was, mm-hmm. I mean, we had the pros, we wanted to have mm-hmm. fun with it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Both movies on their own are brilliant, if you consider, but like Barbie especially, we laughed.
Yeah.
Loved.
It's funny. It's
we
a funny
laughed.
Film. Yeah.
The last scene, me and my partner were like, that's a scene. Because as men, we don't think about going to the gynecologist. Like, it's not something that we do.
Yeah.
It's something that I was never aware of what a gynecologist mm-hmm. is until mm-hmm. I'm like in my early 20s mm-hmm. or like late teens. And I'm like, why shouldn't I be aware of a gynecologist? Why shouldn't be aware that there's this beauty standard of women that they, mm-hmm. they have to spend?
Impossible standards. I mean, Barbie wouldn't even, if she was real, wouldn't even be able to stand up. I mean, apart from the fact that she's on tiptoes. But
right,
I mean, she is completely ridiculously disproportionate.
And yet
still put out there as an ideal that is impossible to, and of course that has, that affects young women.
And what my struggle with the movie is, that there is, a woman president. Okay, yes, there is a woman president. There is a Barbie which is plus-sized, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But what I really struggled with was how things were compartmentalized. The plus-sized Barbie couldn't be the president.
Mm.
It was the plus-sized Barbie. It wasn't the president Barbie who happened to be plus-sized. And it's still, so the fact that we still put people in boxes, that I really struggled with yeah. in the movie.
And ultimately, it was stereotypical Barbie
right.
took the center stage as well.
Exactly.
The blonde, blue-eyed beauty.
Right.
But again, these are conversations that we can have. I loved the whole concept of being put in the box. That really spoke.
Within the movie itself.
Yes. I mean, that on a personal level really
right.
spoke to me. Because I tried to resist it. And then I gave up and I went into the box. And then at some point I decided to
run out.
To stamp on the box. And then perhaps also in the process, take the, but not throw the box away, because there are some elements of who I was that I wanted to hold on to,
right.
But on my own terms, and not necessarily because I had to, because I was a woman.
Right.
And I think I'm sure as a cisgendered male, you would be able to relate in the same way.
Yes.
There are certain elements of masculinity that you embrace, and
yes.
others that you want to push aside.
Away. Yeah.
That would be the case for anybody.
Yes.
I think. But of course, yes, the fact that it was stereotypical Barbie at the center of everything is also important.
How would the
and
real
problematic?
How would for the essence of time also? But a real, like, how would the real world look if Barbie transferred to Malta? If her travel from Barbie Land was not California, was Malta, the real world for Barbie? What was Barbie be introduced to in Malta? Because I find that the Barbie, the introduction of Barbie can also be as a migrant who moved to a different space.
Oh, wow.
Because you mentioned that at the beginning of your work with Ukraine refugees.
Yes.
And the
yes.
moment you mentioned that, it linked me to Elio, the Disney movie. Elio, is it Elio, the one with the fish?
Okay.
And then I was like, but she transferred to another space.
Yeah, like a fish out of water.
Like a fish out of water. And I'm just like, how would we welcome that? How would we, as Maltese, welcome Barbie in our...
Yeah.
If the real world was not California, Long Beach, which in itself has its own mm-hmm. pretty,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
rollerblades. You know, if it's Malta, if it's in the cranes, if it's in the concrete, if it's in the traffic, how would Barbie fit with that? Would we...
Well, I think Barbie, Barbie in the film thought that, because that was another thing, wasn't it? That Barbie Land and the real world were linked, and they were linked through the mother who was playing
with the
doll. So there was that link, and Barbie thought that patriarchy had been dealt with, and that everything was funky and
right.
cool. And then she got the shock of her life when she went to
the real world.
Patriarchy is a problematic ideology that we need to address in Malta, like we need to address globally. It impacts women. It impacts everybody negatively. And I think Barbie would have been just as shocked in Malta. But I think my nan now would be shocked if she came to Malta and saw how young women are living their lives today as well. So,
ooh.
Again, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
right,
of course
right,
she would.
Right.
I mean...
it's just super... No, I was like... It's true, you know?
Of course
it's true,
she would.
Yeah.
I mean, I say this many times to my students, so any students that are listening are going to be rolling their eyes and say, here she goes again.
Oh,
but,
God.
But my nana, my nana Colleen, is a bit... Colleen, I San Nicola.
All right, there you go.
She, if she was alive today, she'd be, I think, around 110.
Okay.
And the world that she was born into was probably, well, her life was closer to the life of Jesus Christ than it is to mine.
All right.
If you think about no access to electricity,
right.
no running water. My nunno, apparently, my buz nunno, her father, apparently pulled the plow physically, he
right,
didn't even have,
farming.
You know,
yeah.
and if I look at my life and then I look at my daughter's lives, they are very different, and the expectations have changed. And again, I say as a middle class white Maltese citizen, so of course Nana would be shocked, Barbie would be shocked, and me looking at my young women today, there is much that has changed, and I celebrate that. But it doesn't mean that everything's great.
Right.
And I also look at my son and the expectations that are placed on my son. This is the feminist struggle. This is not a war between men and women. The feminist struggle is a struggle for social justice for all.
Right. I love that. I love that because at the end of the day, that's honestly, that's the theme I wanted to kind of get out there, that it is not... It is even the fact that there was like this kind of fight on the beach. It's not this physical altercation. I mean, unfortunately, it is in
another, it is a struggle, though.
It is a struggle. And like how we're discussing this, and we discuss so much, but at the end of the day, we just braise the tip of the iceberg,
yeah,
because there's so much to discuss in just one movie. And you mentioned it's other movies as well. It's not like you mentioned Mickey Mouse. It's not necessarily just Barbie. Just
no.
I think Barbie, as you said, re-enabled to the conversation again.
We were able to have fun with it.
Yeah.
You know? And theory is fun too.
Yeah.
And talking politics, this kind of politics, can be fun and invigorating, but it's also important work. And it's hard work.
I love it. I love it. And I don't think youth are... From a personal anecdote, there was an article one time from Alan Deidun on the Times of Malta in regards of last year's €5 bills being thrown at Freshers Week.
Yeah.
And Mr. Deidun wrote, he was like, you know what, youth needs to publish more, they need to be in the library more, they need to be more out there, they need to be academic, they need to go through the journey of academia and have fun with it. So I took his advice, never had a conversation with him, and I wrote an article regarding my first bachelor's thesis, and there was so many positive comments, but there was also negative comments, that it's a bachelor's, it's not a PhD, it's not a master's, which, by the way, I acknowledged that it was not, but the fact that there was this being thrown, youths are being thrown off academia. We were being thrown off academia purely because...
Well, this is elitism and
but you know what I mean? Like,
yuckness.
Because I'm experiencing it from someone from... Like, I consider myself with a privilege also to be able to have a 1 hour a week to discuss my mind on a national radio station.
Yeah.
That's a privilege, you know? And to be in a space where I can contribute to what I want to contribute. But youths are being thrown off to have these political conversations with a small p.
Yeah. And I think even our education system does very little to encourage these conversations. Here, perhaps I'll speak as a youth worker, and the work that we do within the department that is very much about encouraging these conversations. Yes, we use theory. I think theory is sexy. I love theory, but it's about applying theory and like I said, like a comfortable jumper or not, or a jumper that you never want to wear again. What does it give us, and how does it help us understand our world today? And how can we learn from it and contribute to change?
And that's a beautiful kind of rendition of how to conclude this conversation. I thank you so much for joining us. I know it was a very quick, very, very, very kind of spontaneous conversation also in terms of how the conversation turned into. And the reason why is also because I feel that there's so much to discuss in terms of this. And it's just impossible to condense it in 50 minutes. But what if nothing, I really hope that this inspires others to kind of say, okay, let me just watch Barbie from a different lens.
Yeah.
Let me watch Barbie in a critical mindset.
And then talk about it.
Exactly. No, you know what? Exactly. Not just keep it. Not just bottle it
then
up.
Talk
have
about
a conversation
it.
Because even now, through this conversation, I saw so many other teams that I missed completely. So we need to go home. We need to go home and rewatch Barbie
watch
and kind
again.
Of do just some homework and be like, oh yeah, there you go. There's another team we missed and continue the conversation. Thank you so much for
Thank
joining.
You,
I really appreciate
me.
It. And this is the first time we met, by the way.
Yeah,
which is like,
yeah.
I like how I meet someone like 5 minutes. Okay, let's go. Let's go. Let's have a 15-minute conversation. Okay, so we'll be back on Unknown. il-ġimgħa dieħla għal-edizzjoni oħra, dal-programm ikun repetut proprju nhar is-Sibt fejn ikun hawn ir-repetizzjoni ta' dal-programm. Jiena ringrazzjakom talli kontu magħna llum u ringrazzjakom ukoll tal-idejna tagħżlu Campus 103.7. Sal-ġimgħa dieħla hemm on board isselmilkom. Bye bye.